Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
I am Roxane Gay, the co-host with Tressie McMillan-Cottom of Here to Slay from Luminary. We have an excerpt from our home improvement episode that we would love to share with you.
We recently spoke with a home improvement superstar about how to go about remaking your space to reflect who you are. If you want to hear more, you can listen to the whole thing by going to apple.co/slay. That's apple.co/slay.
Today we are speaking to the winner of HGTV's Design Star Next Gen about her amazing career and how to make our homes homey and beautiful. Carmion Hamilton is an environmental curator. Ooh, sexy.
I know, right?
Interior designer, merchandising consultant, blogger, and content creator behind Newbie Design. Welcome, Carmion.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, listen, this is a huge deal. I followed your journey on HGTV's Design Star, mostly on Instagram.
Okay.
Because I followed you on Instagram even before. And so I was thrilled to see you on the show.
Oh, yay.
And then I called it. I knew you had won. I am good like that. And so this is a really, really big deal. How has this changed your life?
So winning Design Star absolutely changed everything for me. It changed everything for me, even just deciding to go and compete.
Uh-huh.
Last year, my business just completely skyrocketed, took off. It was the most successful that my design business had ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the peak of that success is when I got the call that I was officially cast for Design Star. And they said, you know, we need you to come. We need you to be available for six mm-hmm. weeks and you're going to compete and X, Y, and Z. And I was like, well, wait a minute.
My business is rock. Yeah.
My business is like, I am out here doing the dang thing. Finally,
yeah.
8 years later, I'm finally hitting a stride and I almost said no.
Uh-huh.
But I had to talk to my husband and my best friend and they both basically convinced me. They said, you will have a design business for as long as you want one, but when are you going to get the opportunity to be on TV again?
Mm-hmm.
And I really just, I set no true expectations for myself except making it through the first challenge. I'm like, girl, just don't uh-huh. be the first one to get eliminated. Just make
right.
it through the first one. And after that, you are golden.
I think that's always the goal.
Yeah.
Yes, always the goal. Don't be the first to go. And after that, I had my feet under me. I had an understanding of how the competition was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put my head down and did my thing. And to see myself in the end
yeah.
and have my name called, I knew my whole entire life would change in that mm-hmm. instant. And it did. Like, everything happened
uh-huh,
the next
uh-huh.
day. It was crazy.
Oh, I love that for you. So you mentioned your business took off. Was that because of COVID and everyone at home wanting to improve their living spaces?
Yes. COVID was a huge part of the success of my business. And mm-hmm. my social media career mm-hmm. took off at the same time. I worked with lots of brands as a content creator prior to last summer. But with the death of George Floyd and more brands wanting to be more diverse and hire more creators of color, I was mm-hmm. also one of those creators that was sought out by several brands. And so my content creating business took off as well. So I had tripled my business by the middle of summer from the previous
wow.
year. So mm-hmm. yes, COVID, everyone sitting at home, looking mm-hmm. at their spaces, not being able to go anywhere, seeing that they really haven't poured into their own personal spaces the way that
yeah.
they should have.
Uh-huh.
Had people reaching out to designers, mm-hmm. and I was definitely one of them.
Well, yeah, because you have an absolute beautiful eye, and which is clear in the HGTV show, but it's also clear on all of your social media content. One of the things that I love about what you do is that it's beautiful, but also very practical. Like, you really think about how you're supposed to live in your space, which is one of those things that I think happened during COVID. We were just living in it so much. And you start to see the disconnect between how you live and how your house is set up. Where are people supposed to start when you're sitting there on the couch? Because this is how it happens, I think. You're sitting on the couch, you look around your room, and you realize you go to put a drink down and the table's not where it should be. You go to put your feet up on the thing and there's nothing there. Like, everything just starts to feel wrong. And how do you make it, how do you start making something like that right?
That is exactly where I begin my process. So when I connect with the client, the very first thing I find out after, you know, getting as much biographical information I can about my clients, because I have to understand who people are first. Once I find out who they are, I want to know, how do you want to use this space? What is this space for? Is it living? Are you entertaining in here? Do you watch movies? Do you read? Do you work on puzzles at your coffee table? Do you eat in your living room more than you eat at your dining table? Like, what are all of these functions that this space has to do?
That's hard. Because sometimes we have designed a house. This is what I tell my friends. I just spent the weekend, by the way, with a friend who is relocating to the area. And we just went out and had a ball. I showed her some houses and we were looking at some model homes. And I think we think this is about design, but actually what you just described is like, that's like therapy. Because I don't think we want to admit the difference between who we are and who we think we are. Because like, my homegirl is obsessed with the formal dining room. And now listen, I know Taryn. I know her and I adore her. And I just don't think she is going to have a 10-person dinner party in a formal living room. Like, and it's just not who she is. She's a fun, you know, sparkly girl. And I was like, I think you should have like a more relaxed thing. But there's something about thinking, I'm a grown up now. I have to have a formal dining room.
A lot of people make the mistake of designing spaces for what they think they should be instead of how they are going to use them. For instance, I last year replaced my dining room area with an office. And it is the most functional office I have ever created in my whole entire life that just so happens to double as an entertaining space when we need it to. But it is predominantly office space. So just because it says dining room on the floor plan, you may need extra living space. You may need another living room. You may need a indoor classroom for your kids. You may need a makeup studio, whatever that space is, you should design around the functionality of your life and not what you thought this place was supposed to be.
It was a big deal for me when I decided that my house, almost all of it, is dedicated in some way to me reading. And like, the struggle with that wasn't a design struggle, by the way. That was just me feeling selfish. Like, you, I feel like you can't have a whole room that, but I bought, it's my house.
It's your house. Absolutely.
Yeah, I can do what I want.
If all 10 rooms need to be reading rooms, it is what it is.
That's right.
What it is.
Yeah. So like, I love you saying, listen, if you're a makeup person, your thing, the things that you enjoy should have a space. You should have a makeup room, just because other people don't understand what that is. And so I actually think for women, especially who are doing so much of this work right now, it's about us feeling selfish, right? Like, you got to have the guest room, even though nobody, you know, a whole part of your house where people come two times a year is, if you think about it, is actually bananas.
It is bananas. I came to this realization after redoing our guest room last year. Like, we thought we would have people over, but no, like, it's an extension of my wardrobe closet now. Like, I need more clothes. So now it's turning into a she shed. Like, that's where I reside and get dressed.
Exactly.
Now. So,
And people need to be grown at this stage, and we just need to admit that hotels are a thing.
Listen, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's funny. We were looking at a house the other day with, let's just say, 7 bedrooms. And we had 2 set aside for my parents. So they have a sleep room and an office slash chill room in addition to the main rooms. And then offices for us. And by the time we got to the end of it, we're like, well, no guest room, I guess. I mean, we're not getting the house. But and the other thing I've been thinking about lately is, you know, how we furnish these rooms and put decor. And a lot of us, like, this is the first time in my life where I can actually afford some of the pieces that I want, that I see. But what advice do you have for people, like, especially for me, for the first 45 years of my life, who were like living with IKEA
as my option.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, shout out to IKEA, because IKEA isn't it comes through yes, clutch right? when you need them. So
it really does.
I'm a fan, and it's cute. I've got to say, I still have IKEA bookshelves in my house.
They are the number one global furniture brand in the world for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us who want a little bit more in our lives, I still say first and foremost, you need to think about functionality, especially for those pieces that you're investing in, the main pieces of a space, your dining table, your sofa, your bed, the things that you're touching the most. The things that get touched the most are the pieces you want to invest in. Now, when it comes to rugs and accent chairs and lamps and light fixtures and all of those things, you can change up every 30 days if you feel like it.
Yeah.
So that's when you can bargain hunt, you know, Home Goods.
Shout out to Home Goods. I was just there last week. Found some great lamps. I found some great lamps at Home Goods. And shout out to them for real. Yeah.
Shout out to Home Goods. So yes, those smaller pieces, those personality pieces where this season you're feeling orange, but next season you're feeling purple. Like those are the pieces you can go low.
Uh-huh.
Lastly, your artwork. Your artwork, the things that bring in your soul, like things that you tie to your cultural importances in your life, family history, anything that is representative of you, art is one of those things where I tell people to invest in because you're going to love it forever. Yeah.
That's been a really big part of moving into the home that I'm in now, which coincidentally, Carmian, I did in the height of COVID, by the way. I was one of those people out here scrambling and struggling. And at the height of COVID, I'm still getting things that I ordered 7 months ago. They are still showing up piecemeal.
Yes.
Listen, that supply chain stuff is real.
It is. It is.
I texted Roxanne at one point and was like, do you know of any stores that are US-based, that have any US-based warehouse stock? And that started to become the way I would choose where to order because it was taking so long to get stuff.
A lot of what this country imports is furniture. Mm-hmm. And even those that come in are from or domestic. Like you have to think about all of those people are human bodies putting this stuff together. You have to then start putting the human element into all of these tangible things that we're so used to just being able to walk into Home Goods and get. Like as much as I want my space to be my space and beautiful, like this is not the most important thing in the world.
Yep. A huge shout out to like the small local places that just reemerged as I think the goats, right?
Yes.
Because they were the ones who knew. Yes. It made a huge difference. I was fortunate enough to live in an area where really an embarrassment of places between Raleigh and Durham and Chapel Hill, North Carolina that I can visit. I go down to High Point.
Yep. Of the country.
That's right.
Yeah,
so blessed, but the local people just really stepped up and it made me think about where my stuff comes from. Carmian, now I look at a piece in my house and I go, oh, that's from that store up in Raleigh. That's from Father and Sons. Mm-hmm. Oh, he gave me a good deal on that. That's like a really different story than when I order the flat pack from.
It all matters. It all matters.
Yes. So for our friends who have no taste, or they say they have no taste, where do people get this is the fancy decorator word for it. Where does one get an aesthetic?
Oh, an aesthetic. An aesthetic is something that will continue to evolve. As long as you're alive, your aesthetic will evolve.
Okay.
Because my aesthetic for my first apartment is nothing like what my house looks like right now. And thank the Lord for it. But your aesthetic is basically like, think of it as your palate for food.
Oh.
So as a teenager, I hated sweet tea.
Mm-hmm.
I could not stand it. Also couldn't stand coffee. But now I live and breathe by coffee every day and love me some good sweet tea. Like the older you get, the more you understand food and taste and culture.
Mm-hmm.
Your palate widens. You start to explore more things. And that's just how life is. And that is how you acquire your own personal aesthetic. It is everything. It's a culmination of all the things that you love. It's just how you put them together.
Mm-hmm.
That is the trick. You can love everything, all things farmhouse, industrial, mm-hmm. traditional, mid-century. You can love all of these things. It's just a matter of how do you put it together. So I love mid-century modern. Mm-hmm. Modern elements are the foundation of everything I do. Everything. Mm-hmm. My bedroom, bathroom, kitchen. So the foundational pieces, the largest pieces or the
right.
grounding pieces of the space are always going to be grounded in clean lines and will mm-hmm. likely be reminiscent of a mid-century shape, which is basically modern.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that I layer on top of it, I love texture and
I do
cultural
too.
Items. So
yeah.
all of those things may not be reminiscent of mid-century at all, but I love them. But with my clean line foundation, I can layer just about anything on top of it. And you can do this if you have a traditional background.
Mm-hmm.
You have a English rolled arm sectional or sofa, but you want mm-hmm. this acrylic, clear, modern side chair.
Mm-hmm.
It still goes together because you love it. The more of a palette that you have when it comes to design, the more personalized you can make your space. So your aesthetic is whatever you want it to be.
I love that description.
Yes.
I
tell people there's a thread through everything in our lives. So design is just like how we eat our food.
Okay.
So yeah, it's whatever you want it to be.
That was Carmion Hamilton. And so for full episodes and much more of Here to Slay, please go to apple.co/slay. That's apple.co/slay, because our podcast is now available via Apple Podcasts.
Woohoo!
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.